Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. I'm Buck. He's Clay. The lines open 800-282-2882. The website for stories, updates, everything we're doing here is clayandbuck.com. Don't forget to follow Clay Travis on Twitter, Buck Sexton on Twitter, on Instagram. And I just want to say today it feels like it's not going to be as easy for the lockdowners as it was before. Yesterday there was a lot of anxiety. The markets were in turmoil. The Biden administration came out with another one of his anodyne boilerplate America's grandpa who just says whatever his handlers tell him speech to calm everybody down because things were supposed to be better. But it really didn't, I think, feel like the markets were going to respond to Biden. So what is going on right now? Why is it we've had a pretty big rebound today and we've had people willing to come out and say, hold on a second, all right, before we start having the domino effect of mask mandates back in New York City after they've been reinstituted in L.A., before we have to look at booster shots and all the other things that they're pretending have been settled science in an instant, there are some out there who are saying, not so fast. At the very top of the list, I think we'd have to put Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida on the government's hypocrisy with all of this.
Day, I was a little bit perturbed when I was at the southern border when I started thinking about if you wanted to fly from Brazil or you wanted to do certain travel, the way you would be treated by the federal government under the auspices of COVID mitigation. Some people wouldn't even be allowed to come. A lot of these flights aren't even allowed. If you wanted to go on a cruise ship, the federal government doesn't want you except under extreme circumstances. So they're very, very rigorous with kind of lawful commercial activity and travel. But if you just want to hopscotch across that border, they don't care about COVID. They're letting you straight in. They're throwing you on a bus and they're sending you all over the fruited plain in this country. So I don't understand how you square that. If you're saying the cruises have to go through all these procedures because of COVID, wouldn't you want people coming from 100 different countries to just not be able to pour into the country effectively with very little pushback?
Clay, the uprising of the Lululemon mom brigades against masks is something we've talked about. I think we're seeing an uprising of the rational against the absurdity of the regulations around COVID, the absurdity of the open border and all the rest of it. People can't take it anymore.
I think it's well said, Buck. And I talked about this when we went down to Mexico on a vacation. My wife and I, in order to get back in the country, and I think this is still the rule, you had to have a negative COVID test as an American citizen, right? We went to a Mexican resort. This was in late February. We had to be tested at the resort. We had to, and the whole thing is cosmetic theater, right? We had to present our negative COVID test to a random Southwest Airlines gate agent in order, like, what does that gate agent care or have the knowledge to be able to review a COVID test form? Moreover, he doesn't care. I mean, he doesn't want people stuck in Mexico. But anyway, we had negative tests. We got back. At the same time, they were not and continue to not test people who are coming across the border illegally, allowing them to go right in the country without being citizens very many times, right? So how did that policy make any sense at all? And I think what's starting to happen is you're seeing many of these rules which are being applied make no sense when you start to unpack it as Ron DeSantis just did in that same way. And that leads to the big question that we were asking yesterday and the one that we've been debating for the past several weeks. Is there going to be a mass uprising of sorts associated with all these draconian COVID protocols? I think there is, and I think it's going to be connected to school. I really do. I think a lot of kids, because remember, under 12-year-olds can't be vaccinated right now. There's no possibility. And now there's talk that if your 3-year-old has to wear a mask, and I think a lot of parents are looking around and saying all of this is madness. And I think that's where the uprising is going to start with kids and the absurd COVID protocols associated with them when we know they have zero risk from COVID. That's where all this is coming from. But I give credit to Ron DeSantis for standing up and fighting back associated with cruise ships and other businesses based in Florida. Florida has been an oasis of freedom in a country where many people are still furious. They're locked down. And frankly, our second largest city right now, LA, where I'm headed tomorrow, you're not even able to go indoors without wearing a mask again.
There's also the smugness of these experts. There's the sense that we haven't seen all the times they've been wrong or where they failed, and that we are seeing more pushback for sure. There are more people now than ever before, which makes perfect sense. 18 months into this, 80% of seniors vaccinated. People are saying, hold on a second. The stupid COVID rules are actually really stupid. They can see this for what it is. But when you tell them that, I mean, here's NIH's director, Francis Collins, making a really just haughty statement about how it's not like we're sending your kids, you know, to the trenches in a shooting war.
It sounds like what you're saying, though, is you don't think that the nation's pediatricians, the AAP, are off base in what they're telling us.
I do not. I have great respect for the AAP, and I don't think they make these recommendations lightly. They will not be popular amongst parents and kids who are sick of masks. But you know what? The virus doesn't care that we're sick of masks. Mm. The virus is having another version of its wonderful party for itself. And to the degree that we can squash that by doing something that maybe is a little uncomfortable, a little inconvenient. It's not like we're asking people to go to the trenches with shooting war. We're just asking you, if it looks like it's going to help, put the mask back on for a while.
First of all, it doesn't help. But bigger picture here, the pediatricians, I think this recommendation is ludicrous, but the pediatricians last June, Buck, said all schools need to be open, that there was no way they should stay closed. And the same scientists that now are talking about this mask recommendation, they wouldn't in any way get on the line and argue in favor of schools being open. So if you're going to follow the science, last year's recommendation by the pediatricians that all schools need to be open should have happened, right? And I think there are parents willing to make that trade. We made it in my neighborhood, and a lot of schools did. Kids will wear masks in exchange for schools to be open. But it's fascinating to me how few people were willing to actually support the call for kids to be back in school last year. As soon as they mentioned that kids need to wear masks, all of a sudden, hey, we've got to listen to these authorities. They know exactly what they're talking about.
It can't be shut up and do what the CDC says, peasant, when the lockdown left likes it, but the moment that the CDC says something that is more on the side of reopen or listening, oh no, we're going to ignore that. We're going to take the extra precautions, even though the CDC would say, remember that when initially the mask mandates were coming to an end, there were all these different cities, governors, mayors who were saying, well, hold on, we're not ready for it yet. But it used to be we'll do whatever the CDC said. So it can't be experts when you like what they say and we do our own thing when you don't. But that has been a defining characteristic of the lockdowners, of the Fauciites. And really, I think more than ever, Clay, you just see this is a religious belief now for people. This is it's a lifestyle choice. Taking the virus seriously through double masking and masking up your kids at school and continuing on. People think they're like brave warriors against COVID for doing stuff that the experts they used to say were beyond reproach are even telling them that's not really necessary anymore.
Well, it is. And that's why I think for people out there who say, oh, COVID is over, I don't think they're not going to give up on COVID, right? There are people who are so desperately committed to the idea of COVID fear porn, as I call it, that they can't unleash it. Now, we should say, positive story here, because we opened with the stock market tanking yesterday. As we speak, the stock market has bounced back 600 points. And some of the data, Buck, I should also say this, from yesterday, did you see the British scientist like changed his answer to a question?
You gave
on
us that
Twitter?
You gave us that breaking news. And then a few hours later, he's like, oh, I'm sorry. Wrong numbers. It's like, well,
isn't that kind of a big thing to get wrong? So he initially said 60% of the people testing positive for COVID right now and hospitalized in Britain were COVID double vaccinated. And then he came back and said, actually, somewhere around 60% are not, meaning 40% would be. It's all so confusing. And this guy's the expert. Like, how do you go in front of the media and screw up something that bad and then try to clean it up? So I do want to mention that because I said it on air yesterday.
And I was telling
reporting
people
what the expert said.
I was saying, don't drop all your stock, folks, because I thought it was a panic move on a panic day. So not that I give stock advice here, but I'm just saying I had a feeling. Now, of course, in a week, maybe the market drops another 800 points or something, and then I'll be eating my words here. But I feel like Democrats are psychologically in a fragile place right now because COVID has been this crutch of meaning for them as well. And they've had this whole Fauci as America's, you know, kindly old doctor telling them what to do. And they get to Zoom from their couch. And now it's like the real world is coming back. And we're 6 months into the Biden administration. And Biden is an ineffectual clown, which we all knew from the beginning. The policy agenda has run up into a brick wall for the Democrats. Turns out they can't actually get all the Democrats to even go along with all the insane stuff they want to do. So, Clay, I think it's some, yes, obviously the vaccine talk and everything else yesterday was getting people really anxious. But I also just think that the left is feeling uneasy in general right now because what do they have? You and I have freedom, happiness, and a return to America to look forward to. They're not done with COVID yet. There's still climate change to tackle.
It's well said because COVID has come to define so many of these people's lives that, and think about this, Buck. I mean, there's an entire, we asked Alex Berenson about this because he's like, look, I never thought that I would spend all this time talking about COVID. There's an entire collection of scientific experts in quotation marks who owe their entire meal ticket to COVID still existing as a major issue, because once COVID goes away, they go away. And they're not going to allow that to happen.
We're going to be talking more about how the media also, at some level, needs COVID panic, because COVID truth doesn't get the same kind of ratings. COVID reality, I should say. COVID reasonableness. And we've got big stuff happening at the border. And we got Senator Ted Cruz from Texas joining us today.
That's right.
And just to be able to talk to him about all of that and more. But, you know, Clay, last night I had my iPhone out. I was testing it out once again. Just make sure. Hold on a second. Do I get exactly the same cell service right now as I did before? And the answer is yes. Same clarity, same everything. But it's costing a whole lot less. In fact, I'm a single guy, but if I had a family, $800 a year is what you could save just by switching to Pure Talk for your cellular phone carrier. Here's how. The big wireless providers charge you for stuff you don't need and perks you'll never use. Stop paying for all that. Pure Talk gives you exactly the same great coverage, but only charges you for the stuff you really need. Clay, that's why we're customers.
Not only that, Buck, you just mentioned if you had a family, we actually gave my son the iPhone 12 that Pure Talk has provided to us, and he was ecstatic. He's about to be 14. He's got all different sorts of school and extracurricular activities. His first phone, he was like, oh my God, this is amazing. He was ecstatic. Over 20,000 of you Smart Rush listeners have done the same for you or your family, and this is easy to do. All you have to do to get unlimited talk plus 6 gigs of data, all for just $30 a month. Right now, from your cell phone, dial #250 and say Pure Talk. That's #250 and say Pure Talk, and you'll save 50% off your first month. #250 and say Pure Talk. You'll have the option to receive a one-time auto-dialed text message from Pure Talk. Sign up and save money like Buck and I are. Again, appreciate all of you hanging out with us as we roll through the Tuesday edition of the program. I am Clay Travis. He is Buck Sexton. We are talking about the pushback in a positive way that we have seen against what I would call the COVID fear porn, which drove the stock market down nearly 1,000 points at times during Monday, ended up closing down over 700 points. Now, as we speak, the stock market has come back pretty strongly, up over 600 points, so almost eliminating all of the deficit that we saw happen yesterday. Buck, you were saying, and I hope you're right, that you hope this panic is like sort of like in a movie when the villain, the Freddy Krueger, the Jason, You think that he's dead and then he comes back one more time? That's what you think is happening right now with COVID?
I mean, like the last few moments of Die Hard, where the police officer yes. who hasn't drawn his gun because of a tragic accident when he was a young officer has yes. to draw down on the guy with long blonde hair whose name I can't remember. Yeah.
The German guy who yeah. comes out with the gun and still is alive, and all of a sudden he has to protect. Yes, that's you. I hope you're right
Carl.
On that.
Well, his name is Carl the movie, right? And he's got a stare aug, I think, that he points. Anyway, yeah.
Such a great movie, Die Hard. I will be the hotel that I stayed in was right by the Die Hard, the Nakatomi Tower that stood in for Die Hard back in the day. It was amazing. By the way, one concern though. And we talked about this a little bit. There are protests now in Europe. Macron in France has effectively decided that they are going to implement vaccine passports. Now the talk is, and I don't know, they floated this already, Buck, and said, hey, maybe we need vaccine passports in America. And it got shot down so aggressively. But now Boris Johnson in England has said that he is going to implement vaccine passports beginning in September. Here's audio of that.
We're also concerned, as they are in other countries, by the continuing risk posed by nightclubs. I don't want to have to close nightclubs again, as they have elsewhere. But it does mean nightclubs need to do the socially responsible thing and make use of the NHS COVID pass, which shows proof of vaccination, a recent negative test, or natural immunity as a means of entry. I should serve notice now that by the end of September, when all over 18s will have had their chance to be double jab, we're planning to make full vaccination the condition of entry to nightclubs and other venues where large crowds gather. Proof of a negative test will no longer be enough.
High risk people for COVID are not in nightclubs. All right,
amen.
Can we just... If it is 2 a.m. and you are dancing on the tabletop to techno music in London, I would hope that you're not, you know, in your mid-70s or early 80s with multiple comorbidities, because it's not a good way to be spending your time.
But if you were, you're probably pretty healthy.
And you're
right?
Probably you're vaccinated.
Enough, you're probably vaccinated.
Yeah.
But what they said there is initially, and it's kind of hard to follow, if they are going to try vaccine passports here, I think we're going to have a battle royale that is of epic proportions. But the fact that they are trying it in France and the fact that they are going to try it in England, I do think is an ominous sign down the road. Now, I hope you're right, Buck. And I hope the numbers are going to continue to trend down over time such that this story kind of goes away. But my concern is in fall and winter, there's always a little bit of an increase, right? There's always an inkling to allow the story to exist.
My concern, too, is that we'll see a big push for the super cautious preventative pre-surge measures. They're going to say,
headed into fall and winter.
That's right. We can't wait for a surge. We have to get ahead of, as Fauci says, the surge. So we'll come back to that. And by the way, Fauci getting some rough stuff from Rand Paul. I love it.
I love it. We're going to talk to Rand Paul tomorrow.
We're going to come back into that in just a moment. But I also love dogs. Like, my favorite thing in the world, pretty much, dogs. We've got a French bulldog in the Sexton family, Tallulah. She's amazing. But she's got an upset tummy sometimes because she's not getting all the nutrients she needs from her dog food. So we've been adding Rough Greens in, and Rough Greens is incredible. You add it into your dog food. It's not a dog food in itself. It's a healthy supplement that you put in that gives you 23 all-natural vitamins and minerals for your dog, 20 digestive enzymes, 15 powerful strains of probiotics, omega oils, 3, 6, and 9. Great stuff. The folks at Rough Greens are so confident that your dog is going to love Rough Greens, they've worked out a special deal for our listeners. Just go to roughgreens.com/Clay and Buck, and they'll give you the first bag free.
This is James Golden, or Bose Nerdly. I hope you're enjoying the podcast series Rush Limbaugh, the man behind the golden EIB microphone. There's a dozen episodes that will remind you of the greatness of Rush, with so many amazing stories shared. I'm your host of this series, available wherever you listen to podcasts. MyPillow and Tunnel to Towers Foundation are both sponsors.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. I am Buck, and we are telling everybody to stick to the reality, stick to the facts when it comes to COVID. No more panic pandemic. And let's remember that this thing has been going on for 18 months. We're in a much, much better place than we were. A lot of it through natural immunity. What's up, Clay? A lot of it through those of us who have had COVID, which
don't get talked about at all. We don't exist.
I feel like we should get a little bit of credit for our herd immunity contribution, but no, we do not. Instead, they want us to pile on with a vaccine and maybe boosters beyond that. And I've got to say, there are very few people. I mean, Clay, very beginning, I remember you were questioning masks. You used to come on my other radio show and from your show, and we would talk about masks in the very beginning of the pandemic and how dumb this whole thing was. But there's been one person, I think, above all others in politics, and he's joining us tomorrow, right?
Yeah, Rand Paul, third hour of the show.
Dr. Rand Paul has been willing to go at the ultimate sacred cow, if you will, the ultimate person who is beyond reproach, Dr. Fauci, and try to hold this little lab coat tyrant, this little health policy Stalinist, to account. And we have, in this time, on the issue specifically of the Wuhan lab leak, which, let's remember, if this was true, if it did leak from the lab, which, Clay, I'm 90% on it. Where are you?
If I were bet, it's a great question. To me, it's like Occam's razor. You look at all the evidence, and whatever the most likely outcome is, the most likely outcome. To me, it's a 90%-ish theory as well. I just think it's far more probable than not, based on all the evidence.
Right. Like, for example, Jussie Smollett, I said I'm 99.9% sure he's lying.
It didn't happen.
Just because, like, the craziest thing in the universe could have happened. But on this one, I'd say I'm 90%, meaning that I'm pretty damn sure, but I'm not 100% sure on the lab leak theory.
And I don't think, by the way, we'll ever know, unfortunately, 100%, because I don't think we're going to find the proverbial smoking gun in COVID because China has covered it up, which makes it even more likely to me that it did come out of a lab, because if it was truly something that moved from an animal to a man, which is what they've been trying to argue, then you would think they would want that to be uncoverable.
Yeah, of course. And that would be something they could show us definitively. But I do believe that we'll get to a point based on the research they're doing, which is where you actually get into true expertise that I don't understand, but into the amino acid chains that make up the virus, that you can tell almost like a virus fingerprint. You can tell if it's been manipulated in some way, or, the basic structure of it. So that may be, but the Chinese Communist Party, it doesn't matter. We could have every scientist in the world say it came from China. The CCP is going to say, actually, no. And hey, Taiwan, we've got eyes on you. Like, this is, there's going to be Chinese Communist Party stuff that we're not going to be able to change no matter what. And I would just say, right now, though, Dr. Fauci is the one guy who really tries to hold, I'm sorry, Rand Paul, Dr. Rand Paul is the one guy who tries to hold Fauci to account. And this was a fiery one.
Dr. Fauci, knowing that it is a crime to lie to Congress, do you wish to retract your statement of May 11th where you claimed that the NIH never funded gain-of-function research in Wuhan?
Senator Paul, I have never lied before the Congress, and I do not retract that statement. This paper that you are referring to was judged by qualified staff up and down the chain as not being gain of function. So what was, let me finish.
You take an animal virus and you increase its transmissibility to humans,
right?
You're saying that's not gain of function?
Yeah, that is correct. And Senator Paul, you do not know what you are talking about, quite frankly. And I want to say that officially. You do not know what you are talking about.
Let's
okay, you get NIH, one person.
Let's read from the NIH definition of gain of function. This is your definition that you guys wrote. It says that scientific research that increases the transmissibility among mammals is gain of function. They took animal viruses that only occur in animals, and they increased their transmissibility to humans. How you can say that is not gain of function?
It is not.
It's a dance, and you're dancing around this because you're trying to obscure responsibility for 4 million people dying around the world from a pandemic.
Wow. That is, again, when you really put, I got to give Rand Paul credit here, okay? When you really put Dr. Fauci on the witness stand, do you know what he sounded a little bit like there, Buck? He sounded like Bill Clinton saying that depends on what the meaning of the word is, right? There are great, that sounded to me like a lawyer defense that Anthony Fauci is trying to trot out, where he's trying, look, the basic essence, which I think most people out there would agree with, is if you are doing what Rand Paul just laid out, that sounds like gain of function to me. And it sounds like it meets the definition of gain of function that the NIH used. And Fauci is trying to argue that it is not based on some like subtle legal technicality, when everybody out there listening, the common sense, if you're talking to a jury, that sounds like Rand Paul just caught Dr. Fauci in a guaranteed straight up lie.
Think about the incentives here, as well as the evidence that we have from the early stages of the COVID lab leak, assuming that that thesis is correct. Of course, the international health policy community did not want this to come out as something that was the result of research. The Yes. Chinese Communist Party obviously did not want this to come out as the result of research at a lab that has some degree of connection to the military in China, as all major industry, all major scientific research, whether you're talking Cuba or China, government authorities are calling the shots. So everyone needs to remember that.
If you just think about how much different the story changes for COVID, if this is a man-made virus that American taxpayer dollars helped to fund, that then escaped the lab and has killed 4 million people.
Would everyone listen to the same public health experts, by the way, when they were saying, you know, would, and so you got to think about it from the little Stalinist lab coat tyrant Fauci mindset here. You've got to think about, in his mind, oh my gosh, we're getting hit with this pandemic. The global health community, there's international cooperation with this lab. That's a fact now. The global health community was involved in something that at some level could be seen as reckless and a precursor to this whole thing. And then in order to get people to do what you, Fauci, think is necessary, whatever you have to say at that point, you justify. You know what I mean? If you have to lie, in Fauci's mind, what I'm trying to say is if he had to lie in the early stages, even about the level of certainty of the thesis of the lab leak, he could justify it to himself, I can assure you, by we're saving lives.
Not only that, I always say, if you're trying to decide between who is lying, who has more incentive to lie? What does Rand Paul really gain as a United States senator by buying in on a lie and helping to propagate it as a physician in the United States Senate? Virtually nothing, right? To me, Rand Paul would stand to gain virtually nothing. Dr. Fauci, as you just said, stands to gain everything and or lose everything when you analyze who is likely to be telling the truth. The motive, i.e. what someone gains or loses, often can go towards determining who is telling the truth. And speaking of the truth, we appreciate people on this program who tell the truth, Buck Sexton. That's what we try to do every day, and we try to also have advertisers who want to tell the truth to you. And look, right now, all throughout my house, I have got Mike Lindell's MyPillow products. Got it on the beds, got it in the bathrooms, and they have a six-piece towel set made with U.S. cotton, making it extremely absorbent, yet still providing the soft feel you look for in a towel. Set comes with two bath, two hand towels, two washcloths, typically cost $109.99. Right now, limited time, you can get it for $39.99 with the promo code Clay and Buck. You got them too. Tell us about the difference it makes, Buck.
It's a game changer for my sleep, but also all over the house, because I've got now the My Pillows on my bed. I've got the My Towels. I just placed an order today for two more sets of Giza Dream sheets and two bath mats and a queen size down comforter, all from My Pillow, because these are the best products in this class you're going to get anywhere. Plus, you're supporting someone with Mike Lindell and MyPillow. That's an all-American entrepreneur who believes in free speech and freedom and patriotism. So get great products and support somebody who is critical to the truth and conservative media. Go to MyPillow.com, click on Radio Listener Specials to get this insanely low price of $39.99 on the towel set. I just ordered this morning two sets in Ocean Blue. That's right, two towel sets in Ocean Blue. You'll find deep discounts on other MyPillow products as well. Enter promo code Clay and Buck or call 800-792-3269. That's 800-792-3269 for these amazing radio specials. Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. Lines are open 800-282-2882, 800-282-2882. Talking about what we're seeing here from the people that have been demanding more lockdowns and demanding that you toe a certain line. And that means that social media giants have to be brought to bear. Social media giants that might be or are, as we know, colluding with this White House. Here is Jen Psaki, who's out there to just remind you, oh, don't worry, they're not going after individual Facebook users from the White House level yet. That's what she's saying.
First of all, we've not asked Facebook to block any individual posts. The way this works is that there are trends that are out there on social media platforms. You're aware of them. We're aware of them. Anyone in the public can be aware of them. There's also data that we look at that many media platforms, like many of you, also look at data in terms of trends, and you report on it, which is not to be expected given the number of people who get their information from social media. It's up to social media platforms to determine what their application is of their own rules and regulations. And so we just certainly raise where we have concerns about information that's inaccurate, that is traveling out there in whatever platform it's traveling on.
Oh, yeah, the White House, Clay. Nice free speech you got there. Be a shame if something happened to it.
Well, this is, to me, the best thing that could happen for Donald Trump's lawsuit. Because I don't know if Jen Psaki is so drunk on her own power that she didn't even realize what she's been saying, which is crazy because the job of a spokesperson is to be completely on top of what she is saying on a day-to-day basis. But Buck, she said that the White House, even by that attempted cleanup, is monitoring what is being said on Facebook and telling them what can, in their opinion, and should not be said on Facebook. And frankly, Biden took it even a step further when he said, no, they're murdering people, which was a stupid kind of old man, buffoonish thing to say, which we're getting used to with Joe Biden in the White House. But then Jen Psaki also said, hey, if you're banned on one tech platform, you should have to be banned on other tech platforms as well, which effectively encourages directly from the White House all of these big tech companies to collude in banning people. And why does that matter? Some of you out there are saying, well, it doesn't sound right, but why does it matter? Well, the First Amendment argument, as it pertains to the collusion that I believe is going on between big tech and the Democratic Party in terms of restricting content, you need to show a form of state action. And if Facebook is afraid of consequences from the White House, and if other tech companies are as well, what we're having is a default First Amendment violation occurring because of the state action of big tech companies. And I think we're getting closer and closer to the right judge examining all this evidence. And I say the right judge because different judges have different opinions. You need someone who values the First Amendment in this country and is an absolutist. If that happens, we may get some ruling, Buck, which would be wild. I'd love to see the reaction on the blue checks where suddenly there is a ruling that we need to have Trump having access to these platforms once more.
Right, because that would be a decision. That part of the problem with all these conservative efforts to fight back against big tech is, okay, what's the remedy? What do we want? Some people say break them up, say they're a monopoly. Others say, oh, we need to treat them like a public utility. Others say we just need to remove section, 240, right? I mean, there's all these different things that people bring up as how we get big tech, which controls the public square effectively now, to be able to or to stop being so partisan. But with the Trump situation, just him having his accounts, should he run again, is going to be quite a thing. And remember, in Citizens United, the Democrats pretend like this is not the case. The Obama administration's lawyers argued in Citizens United, and of course they lost, and now they act like it's endless foreign money in elections. It's not true. They argued that banning of books, Clay, before an election should be allowable because of the unfair campaign activity of publishing a book within 90 days or 60 days of an election. That was the position of the Democrats and the Obama administration in Citizens United, which they lost.
Remember the positions of Democrats when it came to whether Donald Trump should be able to block people from his Twitter account. They argued that was impermissible. Now, it ended up not becoming a moot point because he doesn't have the accounts anymore. But that precedent and that argument could come back to bite them, because if you don't believe that a president should be able to block someone on Twitter, how should you be able to believe that big tech should be able to block a president?
But also, isn't it just so creepy how comfortable Psaki Bomb and the rest of the handlers around Biden, just how comfortable they are with shutting down space? I mean, they yes. are not yes. in favor of this. White House does not support free speech, period. I mean, it's obvious yes. they want to kick people off, not just one, but all platforms for violations. They want the social media censors to step in on matters of tremendous public importance, like the lab leak theory, like vaccine efficacy or whatever, and say there's only one allowable position. These people are authoritarians. The Democrat Party has embraced authoritarianism when it comes to speech.
Yeah, and it would be different, I think, Buck, if there were certainty here in some way. It would still be inappropriate for the government to be involved. But we're talking about robust debate surrounding issues that have not yet been resolved. They're blocking the truth as often as they are blocking fiction. And as we always say, one important lesson here is you always have to remember, when there is a fact checker, who is checking the fact checker? Because when you are attempting to determine truth, the biases of the fact checkers come in a massive way. And I think that's significant.
And
here,
the bias of the media is something that we're going to tear apart coming up here in a minute. Might even have some fun with
Brad Stelter of CNN.
That's coming up.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.